Paflagon got that wry look again and sighed.
Madam Secretary, I am trying to think of a way to sum it up that will not turn this vessel into a year-long Theorix Suvin.
And he gamely launched into a primer on hemmed space. He learned to look to Sue or Moira whenever he got stuck. More often than not, she was able to drag him out of trouble. She had already shown herself to be good company. And the vast stock of knowledge that she, as a Lorite, carried around in her head made her good at explaining things. She could always reach back to a useful analogy or clear line of argument that some Fra or Sewer had written down in the more or less distant past. I got yanked in the middle of it, and, going back to the kitchen, found Emin Beldo on the other end of the rope. Javarn's servitor was standing at the stove, stirring the mystery pot, and so Emin and I wordlessly agreed to retreat to the other end of the kitchen, near the open door to the garden.
"What the hell are we talking about here?"
Emin wanted to know.
"Is this some kind of travel through the fourth dimension scenario?"
"Oh, it's good that you asked," I said, "because it is precisely not that. Hemmed space is anything but. You're talking about the old thing where a bunch of separate three-dimensional universes are stacked on top of each other like pages in a book, and you can move between them." Emin was nodding.
"By figuring out some way to move through the fourth spatial dimension. But this hem space thing is something else?"
"In hem space, any point, which means any string of n numbers where n is how many dimensions the hem space has, contains all the information needed to specify everything that can possibly be known about the system at a given moment."
"What system?"
"Whatever system the hem space describes," I said.
"Oh, I see," he said. "You're allowed to set up a hem space
anytime you feel like it," I said, "to describe the states of any system you are interested in studying. When you are a FID and your teacher sets a problem for you, your first step is always to set up the hem space appropriate to that problem."
"So what is the hem space that Jad's referring to then?"
Emin asked.
"What is the system that his hem space gives all of the possible states of?"
"The cosmos," I said.
"Oh."
"Which to him is one possible track through an absurdly gigantic hem space. But that very same hemmed space can have points in it that do not lie on the track that is the history of our cosmos."
"But they're perfectly legitimate points?"
"A few of them are. A tiny few, actually. But in a space so huge, a few can be enough to make many whole universes."
"What about the other points? I mean, the ones that aren't legitimate?"
"They describe situations that are incoherent somehow."
"A block of ice in the middle of a star,"
Arcipalt suggested. "Yes," I said. "There is a point in hemmed space that describes a whole cosmos similar to ours, except that somewhere in that cosmos, there's a block of ice in the middle of a star. But that situation is impossible." Arcipalt translated.
"There's no past history that could make it happen, so it can't be accessed by a plausible world track."
"But if you can suppress your curiosity about those for a moment," I said to Emin, "the point I was getting at was that you can string the legitimate points, ones not visited by our world track, but that make sense, into other world tracks that make as much sense as ours."
"But they're not real," Emin said. "Or are they?"
I balked. Arcipalt said,
"That is a rather profound question of metatheorics. All of the points in hem space are equally real, just as all possible XYZ values are equally real, since they are nothing more than lists of numbers. So what is it that imbues one set of those points, one world track, with what we call realness?"
Sewer Triss had been clearing her throat more and more loudly the last few minutes, and now graduated to throwing things at us. To this was added the jingling of several bells. It was time to bring out the main course. Other servitors had been picking up the slack for me and Emin, so we got very busy for a while. Several minutes later, the 14 were all back in their formal positions, Doines at the table, waiting for Sewer Asquin to pick up her fork, servitors standing behind them. Sewer Asquin said,
"I believe we have all decided, albeit with some reservations, to move over into hemmed space with Fra Jad. And according to what we hear of it from Fra Paflagon and Sewer Moira, there should be no lack of room for us there."
All the Doines laughed dutifully. Barb snorted. Arcibalt and I rolled our eyes.
Barb was clearly dying to plain Sir Asquin by explaining in excruciating, dinner-wrecking detail just how colossal the configuration space of the universe really was, complete with estimates of how many zeros it would take to write down the number of states it could describe, how far said string of digits would extend, etc. But Archibald raised a hand, threatening to rest it on his shoulder. "Steady now." Sir Asquin began to eat, and the others followed her lead. There was a little interlude during which some of the Doines, not Lodagear, made the requisite comments on how tasty the food was. Then Sir Asquin continued,
"But looking back on our discussion, I find myself puzzled by a remark that Frau Paflagon made before the topic of hemspace was mentioned, concerning the different kinds of matter. Frau Paflagon, I believe you were citing this as evidence that the geometers all came from different cosmi, or to use Frau Jad's term, different narratives."
"A somewhat more conventional term would be world tracks," Sir Moira put in. "Use of narrative is somewhat, well, loaded."
"You're speaking my language now," said Lodagear, clearly delighted. "Who besides Frau Jad uses narrative, and what do they really mean by it?"
"It is rare," Moira said, "and it is associated in some people's minds with the lineage."